Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California's wine industry, the fourth largest in the world, has become used to rolling with the punches over the years, from climate change and drought to wildfires, the pandemic, and now an inflation crisis. Wine growers have been able to endure a lot, especially recently. According to figures from 2021 by the California Wine Institute, the economic impact the wine industry has on our state is over $57 billion. That's everything from planting to bottling and exporting. But along with those successes, there are significant challenges that remain for an industry that has become used to innovating, adapting, maneuvering an ever-changing landscape. Joining us here on Insight is wine expert Rick Cushman. He's a New York Times bestselling author, former Sacramento Bee columnist, and regular contributor to Insight. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Vicky. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Nice to see you in person.
I know. This is exciting. Back in the studio.
Yes, it is wonderful. Let's take off. There are a lot of pressures these days when it facing the California's wine industry, but sales are actually up. The Wine Institute reports wine exports last year grew 10%. California makes up 95% of all exported wine. That's the largest gain since 2013, nearly a decade. What is behind the surge in sales?
Well, wine sales globally have grown about 1%. And so there's a little bit of that going on. Of course, as soon as I start talking, the frog comes in the throat. So a lot of it is that as people start, got used to COVID and got used to ordering online and all of that, we're better at it. So there's more exports across the world. Part of it is that Europe has had some rough years and California has not. Even though we've had drought in terms of the quality of vintages. So there's a little bit of that. And there's just a lot of different things going on that has – and the industry's gotten better at it because COVID sort of got them sharper at learning how to market online and how to send.
Yeah, I remember doing tastings over Zoom, not too long ago, all that pivoting that was taking place over the last 2 years. Are there still lingering issues, though, because of the pandemic? I mean, not too long ago, we're still enduring its supply chain issues. Is that still impacting the wine industry?
Oh, yeah. So the good news about sort of the lingering issue is that, like we were saying, they've gotten good at dealing with COVID. And so among the things that have changed is when people do go wine tasting, they're getting sit-down tastings. It's not much less belly up to the bar. It's a little more, that's fun for some ways, but it's sort of more sophisticated, that kind of thing that we always think about when we go, how fun would it be to do this? Sitting out at a table, looking at a view or a vineyard. And so they're really good at that. That's the plus side. The downside is, shipping issues and supply. So shipping goes both ways because, as you were just saying, right, they ship. So that's hard. And as we've hit summer, that also has to be careful so it can't be slow because it's hot. You don't want to ship wine in heat. But it's also getting everything from bottles to capsules to corks and getting grapes moved around and getting a bulk wine moved around, which is a surprisingly large part of even California's wine industry. And so, all of that has slowed things down and made it more expensive and made it more difficult to do exactly what they want to do.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Are we paying more for wine? How is inflation impacting wine?
Well, that's another one of those really complicated questions, and everything is. And it really sort of depends. Well, it doesn't sort of. It really depends on the kind of winery. For example, the more expensive, what we call the North Coast wineries, Napa, Sonoma, even Mendocino, those folks that people are used to spending a lot of money. In fact, that's been where the big growth has been in the wine industry is in premium. And I think that's as people, had been going on before COVID, but it kind of went up on COVID. It went up and then down. People drank really cheap and really expensive because why not? And so those wines have gone up in price, but nobody notices because if you're spending $72 for a bottle of wine, what's $76? And so there's a lot of that going on. But at the supermarket level, which is where most of us drink wine, really, it's like 80 to 90% of American wine still bought in supermarkets or something like a supermarket, those prices are going up and it's noticeable. But the problem is, so big wineries, my old supplier, a company was Gallo. I used to work for Gallo for years, and they're the largest in the world, and they can afford to buy in bulk. They have their own glass company. They manufacture their own bottles. They actually use a quarter of California's recycled glass, a little side note. and so for them, they have the capacity, because of their size, to keep the prices down some. But if you're a lot of our friends, say in the foothills or in Lodi, that are smaller, you don't have economic clout. You can't demand shelf space. So on the one hand, you don't want to raise your prices too much because somebody will drop you for a lesser priced wine. But on the other hand, if they don't raise their prices because everything's more expensive to them, then they're starting, really on the edge. And so it's a little complicated. So when you go to those wineries, you may find that the price of the wine is a little more expensive than it might be if you see it in the market.
Yeah. Oh, so when it comes to, the bigger ones, larger producers can shoulder more of that impact. When you touch upon smaller wineries in the foothills, Amador County, El Dorado County, for example, how are they adapting?
Well, as they were, for COVID, for one, with hospitality. I mean, that's really kind of their answer in a lot of ways. Some of it is also, how they make, not that they're making the wine any cheaper, but maybe what they're choosing to focus on. They're choosing to focus on the wines that sell the best, although there are still a lot of wineries up there that make many, many kinds of wines, which is a bad economic model, but it's fun for them. So they do, really best way to do it if you're a small wines, make five or six wines. But in any case, they...
Is that why a lot of wineries are getting into rosé in recent years?
Well, that's another story. And we should talk about that because rosé is awesome. It's an awesome product and everybody buys it. But that's a little bit of the reason is because it's a good product to sell. But for the others, they're some ways they're fighting. There was a frost that hit the foothills,
right,
and it hit Lodi in April, and so they had already had bud break, which means little bitty grapes are coming out and the leaves are coming out, and it hurt them badly. So that there will be fewer or less grapes, and it'll be a smaller vintage. Doesn't mean it's going to be a bad vintage. In fact, it'll probably be a very good vintage because drought actually helps with that, because when vines struggle, the flavors are more intense. But there will be less of it. And it's at a time when the demand is high and the price is high for selling grapes and wine and things like that. And so, they're on the edge, and so, my first advice is support your local winery. If you have a favorite, go see them, buy a bottle of wine from them. It's not that they're in dire shape, but this is not their best time.
You touched upon in the beginning, going from, grocery store wine to more expensive wine, like $70 plus. Does this break down to age? Is there a difference when it comes to how younger buyers versus older wine buyers approach what they want now?
Yes, massively. So one way to think about this is, for anybody, I'm not going to put an age on it, but many people remember that there's this thing called dinner parties. We have a dinner party and the host has a couple of wines and you might bring a bottle and you give it to the host, and it's all part of the, those tended to be more expensive wines. Now, many younger people, and in fact, older people too, we have parties. I say we as if I'm a younger person, which is not the case. And what that is everybody brings something, a bottle of wine, seltzer, beer.
Right,
and you put it on the beverage table next to the pile of different foods that are everything from tacos to sushi to cannelloni that somebody made, and so.
It's like a buffet, not a course anymore.
Exactly. And so what that leads to a little downscale on the alcohol and sort of agnostic drinking. And what it means is that a lot of blends and less expensive wines are doing okay too, but whereas this more expensive stuff tends to be older folks. It's also people who've been drinking wine for a long time, and so as their palates sort of progress or evolve, they're looking for something more exciting or they're willing to spend on it. And frankly, if you've been in the workforce for a while, you've got money to spend on wine. Maybe somebody younger doesn't.
Yeah, I know. I've become, a member at a couple wineries and all local. When you go out there and you get such a wonderful experience,
yes.
Given that people are going to be heading out a lot of this summer, in the last minute or so, what should people be mindful of, when they're going to hit a winery? And are there some regions that you recommend, or is it kind of, you can find something good anywhere?
Well, the first most important advice is in summer is bring a cooler and bring ice. You're going to cook your wine if it sits in the car for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Really, if you go shopping, throw a cooler in there, because if you're not driving straight home, so when you're buying wine or things like that, park in the shade, bring a cooler, throw some ice. Just that's always a great thing. The other thing sort of is that heat actually changes your taste. You taste bitterness and sweetness more. You taste, and so fruity a little less. And so it's why, like, a lot of people don't drink Cabernet in the summer, because it tastes more bitter for the tannins. So when you're tasting wine, try to do the math on that, you know. The other thing is think about, like, you know, bringing a lunch along, but call ahead, because, you know, the pandemic has changed. A lot of places where people used to just be able to pack lunch and go, now they have much more organized tastings.
And we have to leave it at that. The time just flew by. Rick Cushman, thank you so much for joining us.
Nice to be inside here.
And that is it for Insight today. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.